Okay, let's remember where we were at yesterday. Yesterday we started with a pair of riddles and that vaulted us into a sugya. What we want to do now is hopefully bring those pieces together and take it to the next step, wrap up the sugya, and then we'll be ready to dive into Maseches Menaches. We had started with a pair of riddles. The first one was the connection between, I don't have the Becher here now, but between Tefillin, Shabbos, and Chesed, which at first seemed like they were, yes, as Yoni said, daily, frequent mitzvahs, certainly all tools you can use to grow. As we saw as we explored our second riddle, it began to give sense to the first one. Now that second riddle was a phrase that appears in Chumash Devarim at least seven different times. In a non-literal sense. In Parshas Devarim, the Torah speaks about literally HaKadosh Baruch Hu helping us to travel through the desert on the path that He laid out for us. You'll remember that in Chumash Devarim, in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Torah says HaKadosh Baruch Hu literally was taking us through the desert with the beacon of smoke during the day, beacon of fire at night, and we were literally following HaKadosh Baruch Hu's trail. But seven different times later over the course of Chumash Devarim, we saw Pesukim in Ekev and in Re'eh and Kisavo and Nitzavim, all this language of being Holecha Achar Hashem Lokechem Teilechu V'Halachta B'Drachav L'Leches B'Chal Drachav. A lot of talk about following Hashem's path. What exactly does that mean? And Arya had made the suggestion, well, maybe it means to keep mitzvahs, which definitely sounds like a reasonable approach. And the problem, Chazal seemed to avoid it because those same psukim often speak about keeping the mitzvahs and being holich in Derech Hashem. So this Derech Hashem must be more than only keeping the mitzvahs. But yet it's something very broad and general, some global concept. So we saw yesterday a Gemara in Shabbos, a Gemara in Sota, Rashi quotes in Parshas Ekev that this v'halachta b'drachav, this going Hashem's way, it doesn't mean literally, taking the bridge, taking the tunnel, flying, taking the bus, traveling the way Hashem travels, but it means, as an expression, traveling through life, handling situations the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, handles situations. He's God and we're people, but throughout Tanakh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described in human-like ways, for those who like intellectual-sounding words, that's anthropomorphic. Is a human form. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described, whatever floats your boat, it's fine with me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described in anthropomorphic terms. He's described in human-like ways. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu as handling things the way a person would, not because he's a person, but that gives us some sense of what we can do that will be godlike. So we hear about HaKadosh Baruch Hu being kind, and we hear about HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing Bikur Cholim, and so on and so forth. We saw the Gemara on Shabbos focuses on the inner midos of a person, the Rachum V'Chanun, having shaping a certain inner personality. The Gemara on Sota spoke about acting in ways that reflect that inner personality, to be Mevaker Cholim, to be Kovir Mesim, and so on and so forth. And we saw yesterday also this idea of the Halachta Bidrach of going to Hashem's ways is not only, the Rambam says, expands it more. It's not only being a nice guy, that's a piece of it, but that's just an example. An example of something bigger, of overall having the mitzvah of Tikkun HaMidos, the mitzvah of developing, cultivating the type of character, the type of personality that's a balanced, godlike personality. The Rambam said, you look throughout Tanakh, Tanakh is full of descriptions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in human terms, and the main point of them is to give us a sense of how we should handle anger and how we should handle frustration, how we handle being generous and so on and so forth. All the different aspects of human personality, all the different dimensions of human personality, you're meant to shoot for the balanced ideal that's Achar Hashem Elokeichem Teilechu, following the divine model. Being generous, but not overspending. And being calm and kind, not overreacting, not underreacting, and so on and so forth. Each aspect of human personality to seek to be in the balanced middle. And that's the divine model. That's the mitzvah of a halachta b'drachim. So that explains this. the tzedakah and the chesed and the bikur cholim, the halachta bedrachav. What we left off with yesterday was that halachta bedrachav might be even bigger than that. Because halachta bedrachav, the Gemara, the Rambam, talk about in terms of personality, in terms of kindness, in terms of calm, in terms of humility, how you handle money, how you handle anger, personality. But let's take a look. Let's take a look right here at two other mitzvahs. Please correct me if I'm wrong, Chevra. Did we take a look at Shabbos yesterday a little bit before we wrapped up? Yes, no, maybe so. Don't jump at once. Give me one finger if we did. Give me two fingers if we did not. One finger we spoke about Shabbos. Two fingers we did not. Okay. One, yes, no, maybe so. That's the very end. Okay, that's the answer to this tier. Good. So I think up until now we had wrapped our arms, our minds around pretty thoroughly the idea of a halachta bedrachav, the solution to that second riddle. What's with this language? And here you see on the screen, or from Mar Makomos number one. If you have it printed out, you can pull it up on paper. The first Mar Makomos page. And all these psukim that with which we opened, these psukim over the course of Chumash Devarim, to keep Hashem's mitzvahs and to go in His ways. And now we understand, keep Hashem's mitzvahs, that's all the mitzvahs masios, all the hands-on mitzvahs, of sukkah and lulav and giving tzedakah and not speaking lashon hara, all the practical mitzvahs. Valach b'drachav is developing that person, a godlike personality. Okay. But now we take a look here. So what I want you to see is that we could push this further, this idea further. I think a number of you saw this in Seder yesterday. Because here are two mitzvahs. There are mitzvahs that Hashem is described as doing also. The Gemara speaks in a few places about Kodesh Baruch Hu learning Torah. It's interesting. Here is a pasuk, one of the most common, one of the most familiar pesukim in Chumash probably. Say it every, you either say it or hear it every Shabbos morning. Kisheshes yamim asa Hashem es hashamayim v'saretz. Es yamim eskal shabam. 6 days that Kodesh Baruch creates the entire universe. Vayonach v'yam ha-shvi. And He rested on the seventh day. Okay, now that's why Berach Hashem es yam ha-shvi v'yikad v'sheh. Kodesh Baruch endowed Shabbos with bracha and with kedusha. Why? Because the good Lord created the universe in 6 days and He rests on the seventh. What's difficult about that pasuk? Rashi is sensitive to this. The challenge of that pasuk. That's the challenge. Yeah, Yonatan says. Right. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't tired. He wasn't working hard. Now he was not working hard with the hands and feet. So you might say, you know, but when I'm on school on Zoom, I'm on Zoom for hours every day. I'm fatigued. I didn't get out of my chair. Okay, but God doesn't get Zoom fatigue either. He doesn't get fatigued at all. What does this mean? Kivayachal. So that's what Rashi addresses. As it were, this is a manner of speaking. Not literally, God, he wasn't tired. He doesn't have a body. Hichtiv, that word. Lichtov is to write. Lehachtiv is to cause someone else to write. Hichtiv ba'atzmanucha. Hashem dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, you should write in the way, as he's dictating the entire Chumash to Moshe, he has Moshe write menucha. It's not literal. Lamed hemenu kavachor mal adam. It teaches us, people, all the more so. Melachdu ba'amal v'yigi, human beings do get fatigued when they work, when they produce. Sheinach b'Shabbos. Kodesh Baruch Hu rested on Shabbos. We certainly have to rest on Shabbos. So at first you read that Rashi, it sounds sort of like, what does that mean? But with the framework, with this concept that we've developed of a halachta bedrachav, recognizing that throughout Tanakh, there are descriptions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in human-like terms, in anthropomorphic terms, to give, and the point of it is so we know directions for us. So there you go. Most mitzvos are just mitzvos. Mitzvah is a commandment. I do it because Hashem said that I should do it. You do it because Hashem said that you should do it. He does it, she does it because Hashem said that he and she should do it. That's what a mitzvah is. A commandment from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mitzvah, and we are the mitzvah. But every once in a long while, you have a mitzvah that's not only a tzivoy, not just precept, Hashem said do it, but he, so to speak, modeled it for us. He actually does it too in some divine way. Hashem rested on Shabbos. When we rest on Shabbos, not only is it a mitzvah of Shabbos, it's also like of a halachta bedracha. When we learn Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Chazal described by Ribbono Shel Olam as learning Torah. So when we learn Torah, it's not only a tzivui Hashem told us to do it, but we're emulating Him. And with that in mind, let's take a look at this Gemara in Brachos. Give me a finger if you saw this Gemara in Brachos. Give me a hand if you saw this Gemara in Brachos Davavi the Chavrus yesterday. Okay, fantastic. Let's take a look together now. Let's take a look together. Let's bring that up. Okay, you see it on the screen? Or you have it on paper, or you have an actual Gemara, whatever it is. See here, the Gemara, over the course of Vav Amud Aleph, is the very beginning of Shas. Brachos da Vav Amud Aleph. So earlier on, the Gemara was talking about Tefillah, the power of a shul, as a way of connecting the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the power of Tefillah and connecting the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the power of Torah and connecting the Kadosh Baruch Hu. All concepts that seem pretty natural to us. That talking with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in tefillah is a way, potentially, if we do it right, sometimes it can be challenging to do it right, but if I'm actually in conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm davening, it makes sense that's a way to grow a relationship. I'm learning God's wisdom, I'm sitting and learning Torah, the Gemara says, whether I have a chavrusa, I'm learning by myself, Shechina Kenegdo, even if there are no other people who are with you, it's a beautiful, profoundly inspiring Gemara, any time in our lives, and particularly during Zoomsman. You see that? Even one person alone, sitting and learning. There are no other people with you, but you're not alone. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with you. Anywhere where my name is mentioned, a Jew is studying Torah, I will come and I will bless you. Wow. Beautiful. Okay. Very powerful. Very powerful. Very beautiful. Connectedness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the potential connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Torah, through Tefillah, if you have access to Beis HaKnesses, something that we've learned to appreciate by not having it, we maybe stop taking it for granted. And then, here take in that context, beautiful, inspiring, and understandable context, take a look at this Gemara here, at the two dots near the bottom. I'm Rabbi Avin Bar Adda. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak. What does the Gemara say you saw with your Chavrusa? What's Rabbi Avin Bar Adda's Chiddush based on the Pasuk that what? What did he say? Who saw it yesterday? I'm Rabbi Avin Bar Adda. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak. Menashe HaKadosh Baruch Hu Menich Tefillin. How do you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears Tefillin? Wow. So Yitzchak. Yitzchak draws this from a pasuk. Nishpa Hashem bimino uvizro uzo. Talks about Kadosh Baruch Hu's right hand and his hand of power, as though that's the other hand, the right hand, and his power for the power on his left hand. What's that a reference to? So the right hand Yitzchak develops as a reference to Torah bimino zu Torah, and he has a raya for that. And bizro uzo, the power on the other hand, is tefillin. Hashem owes lamo yitain. Fascinating. Right. It goes on to develop that O's can be a reference to tefillin. But you look at it, you say, well, what is it? A Kadosh Baruch Hu wears tefillin. Obviously, this is metaphorical. A Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a head, he doesn't have an arm. A Kadosh Baruch Hu wears tefillin. We're not 100% sure what it means that Kadosh Baruch Hu learns Torah or that Kadosh Baruch Hu rests on Shabbos either. But at least I can begin to make sense of that. Kadosh Baruch Hu, again, doesn't rest the way. He's not tired, but it is true that he was being creative. However you interpret, and that's a fascinating conversation maybe for a different time, however you interpret the 6 days of Bria, where you think that's literally six times 24 hours, you think that's six eons of time that may have stretched over 15 billion years, a great conversation for a different time. But however you understand, it clearly was a creative process. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the entire universe, Yesh Me'ayin, and leaves it off with endowing a human being with a neshama, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu steps back and says, now people are going to take the lead. So clearly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was engaged in a creative process, and then he took a step back. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was, so to speak, rested. What does it mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears tefillin? He wears tefillin? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu learns Torah also. Not the way we learn Torah, but if Torah is the wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so he's involved with that wisdom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu learns Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being shoveis, being nach on Menuchas Shabbos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is wearing tefillin. What does that mean? So the first step in understanding this, and I should point out, this is really important to understand. Not only because this is one of the first mentions of tefillin in Shas, but it sounds from here like tefillin is unusually deep mitzvah. And if we can begin to figure out what this means, we'll begin to figure out the meaningfulness of tefillin. But how do we handle this? So the first tool we have at our disposal for understanding this is a concept we've been developing of v'alachta b'dracha. If you've just seen this Gemara, brachas da'avah, without any context, like, oh, what does this mean? Hashem wears tefillin, what does this mean? So number one, we say, 1 second. We have a larger concept, and this looks like an example of that. We know there's this larger idea of halachta bedrachav, that we have a mitzvah as human beings, as Jews, to seek to, in human ways, do things that are parallel to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does in divine ways. Oh, okay. So we saw that with midos. We saw that with learning. We saw that with Shabbos. This also, apparently, tefillin is a member of this unique select group, this exclusive club of the mitzvahs, which aren't just tzivuyim, but they're actually halachta bedrachav mitzvahs. Okay. So, step one, at least begins to fit into some sort of structure of thought. Tefillin is one of those special mitzvahs, that special subset, that exclusive club, the v'halachta b'drachav mitzvahs, which means they're mitzvahs where there's a lot, an extra layer of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We learn Torah in some way paralleling Hashem learning Torah. We keep Shabbos in some way paralleling Hashem keeping Shabbos. And we wear tefillin in some way paralleling Hashem wearing tefillin. So that's step one. Tefillin is one of these v'alacht b'drachav mitzvahs, and that, by the way, solves our first riddle. We had opened yesterday, and what's the connection between tefillin, Shabbos, and Bikur Cholim? Well, now it sounds like we have an answer. They're all v'alacht b'drachav mitzvahs. They're all mitzvahs that Hashem himself is described as doing. Hashem wears tefillin. Hashem rested on Shabbos. Hashem is mevaker cholim. Okay. But of course, that opens the question, well, what does that mean? I can understand what it means Hashem is involved in Chachmas HaTorah. I can understand sort of what it means Hashem is involved in Menucha Shabbos. What does it mean Hashem is wearing tefillin? Yoni Panish, what do you want to say? Right. We don't hear Hashem ever described as sitting in a sukkah, or Hashem shaking lulav. We don't hear Hashem described as bringing karbanos, right? Correct. I'm glad you're asking. Let's unpack this a little more. When I shake lulav on sukkahs, so I'm being mekayim the mitzvah of ulakachtem lechem b'yom rishon. I'm being mekayim the mitzvah of lulav. And when I eat in the sukkah on sukkahs, I'm being mekayem in the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah. Right? One mitzvah at a time. But when I rest on Shabbos, it's two mitzvahs in one. It's Shabbos and also of halach t'bedrachav. When I learn Torah, it's two mitzvahs at the same time. Talmud Torah is a mitzvah. It's a tzivoy. Hashem said you got to learn Torah. Seek to become as great a Talmud Chacham as you're capable of becoming. And the second mitzvah, v'alach t'bedrachav. I'm being like God. If you prefer Latin, that's imitatio Dei, imitating the Lord. Right? I'm modeling myself after God. So it's a two-layer mitzvah. So tefillin also is a two-layer mitzvah. When I wear tefillin, I'm mekayim ukshartim lo saladecha yitotovus beinecha. I'm also being mekayim v'alach t'bedrachav. Because in some divine sense, Hashem wears tefillin. So this is, and again, like we were saying, there are very few mitzvahs that are like this. And this is like select club of mitzvahs that have a halachta bedrachav layer to them also. Yonatan, question. Yonatan, that's an excellent point. That's an excellent point. That's a fantastic point. Let's take a 3-minute sidebar here to respond to Yonatan's point. Yonatan is asking, is that also Malachta B'drachav? God's creativity. And what does that mean in terms of taking vacation? Should I be a workaholic to be like the Lord? So that's a fantastic question. The truth is the Rambam keeps stressing, as I said before, in general terms, that if you look at the overall picture that's painted in the, over the course of the totality of Tanakh about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you get a balanced picture. So here's a great example. Let's take this as an example. So on the one hand, Rav Soloveitchik in Halachic Man, one of his most famous philosophical works, the second half of Halachic Man is largely dedicated to what Yonatan just said. He says if you were seeking on the mitos front, on the personality and character front, to be like God, and again in some human way, one of the most basic things we can say about Kadosh Baruch Hu is that he is the creator. And he created the entire universe, Yesh Mayayin. He is the Borei Olam. So the Rav says, no human being will be created to the extent that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. We're not creating ex nihilo. We're not creating something out of nothing. But we can also be creative. Yesh meyesh. Right? We can take what is and make new things. And whether it's physically, whether it's in the world of ideas. And the Rav of the second half of Halachic Man is largely devoted to the idea that being creative is one of the most fundamental ways of being mekayim v'alachta b'drachav. He talks about creativity in terms of learning, creativity in terms of chesed, creativity in composing new music, creativity in making scientific discoveries, in making artistic creations, and being an entrepreneur. Think of what your talents are, but creating is one of the most basic things that we can say about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore it's a very fundamental, like humility, and like being low-key and like being truthful and honest, being creative, these are very central pieces of Halachat B'drachav. So you're absolutely right. Being productive and being creative are very central pieces of Halachat B'drachav. At the same time, let me share with you an intriguing Gemara in Avodah Zarah. And with this, we'll wrap up Yonatan's question and come back to Tfilin. Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, points at a pasuk that we say or are supposed to say every Rosh Chodesh. The very end of Rosh Chodesh davening is Baruch Hinafshi, a lot of times sort of gets short shrift because the end of a long davening and you're 100% sure what's going on there. Not such a bad idea to sit down for Baruch Hinafshi. Forces you to actually, like, if you're not in a rush. Baruch Hinafshi, to make a long story short, is praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, noticing the beauty of the different cycles and patterns of nature. And it's the divine, seeing the divine in biodiversity. And he talks about the nocturnal animals and animals that come out during the day, predator and prey. At one point, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Leviasa and Zed, this enormous sea creature, Yatzarta Lesachek Bo. You created Lesachek Bo. How do you translate Lesachek Bo? So the Gemara says it means to play with it. The Gemara talks in Avodah Zarah about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's schedule. If you can imagine such a thing, again, describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu in human terms. We have different hours of the day. From 11 to 12:30, I'm learning. And this time I'm diving. And this time I'm playing ball with my friends. I'm running a camp. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. Right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a schedule also. So Gemara goes through HaKadosh Baruch Hu's schedule. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu is learning. Sometimes he's taking care of people, taking care of animals. And the Gemara says, and from this hour to this hour, he's Misachek Im Halav Yasin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is playing with the Leviathan, based on that pasuk in Baruch Hinafshi. The question, what does that mean? God plays with Leviathan? Bizarre. It sounds almost sacrilegious. Kadosh Baruch Hu, plays Fortnite with the Leviathan? Like, whoa, what is that? What does that mean? Kadosh Baruch Hu is, but that's the Gemara of Avodah Zarah. It says based on that pasuk in Tehillim in Baruch Hinafshi. Kadosh Baruch Hu is Misachik Ma Leviathan. So if Salvation suggested, no, that's exactly, once again, this tool, this concept of Halacht B'drachav allows us to understand that Gemara. What the Gemara is saying is the human equivalent of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does with Leviathan. In human terms, we would call that play. And the point of that is to understand that human beings need to have downtime also. a part, as we were saying before, the Rambam keeps stressing Valach Bedrachav. You look at the whole picture of Tanakh, all the different descriptions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you get the sum total is a balanced picture. And the one HaKadosh Baruch Hu is incredibly creative. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is incredibly responsible. And we as people are supposed to be creative and responsible and getting stuff done, being productive. At the same time, we're all supposed to have time where you're Mesachik Mehalav Yasam. All work and no play is not a healthy recipe. And that's what Chazal pointing out. That's a Pasuk in Tehillim. The Valach Bedrachav calls upon us to have balance in this dimension also. In terms of productivity and creativeness, yes. You're supposed to be very productive and very creative and also give yourself some downtime. Whatever it is in divine terms, but the human equivalent is Mesachik Mehalav Yasam. Again, you might not, some guys might enjoy fishing. There you go. It doesn't have to be fish. As we heard, guys like playing piano, guys like playing basketball and baseball and soccer, and maybe even some hockey and whatever else it is, and some ultimate and tennis and volleyball, hanging out with friends and reading and doing wholesome, different types of wholesome things that are downtime. That's a kiyum. Taking out time to relax is a kiyum mitzvah daraisa of Alach Tebedrachav. How about that? Now again, everything in balance. You know, relaxing for 22 hours a day is not balanced either. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is creative. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described as being very productive, very responsible, and as taking breaks. So I think that's the answer to your question, Yonatan. If a guy is on vacation 50 weeks a year, something's a lot of whack. But if a guy never takes vacation, there's also something off kilter. Yes, it's mostly work, and there's going to be some downtime every day, some downtime every week. And then over the course of the year, there'll be some times where you're taking more targeted downtime. And that's this part of this, one example of this Valach Bedrachav picture. On the one hand, Kisheshes Yom Asa Hashem Asashem Asarets, extraordinary creativity. On the other hand, Livyasin Yetzar to Lazachikbo. Okay. So I'm glad you raised that. That gave us sort of a bigger picture of the Valach Bedrachav in terms of Midos, and I think a pretty practical. I have not yet gotten to know you guys well. Hopefully we will over the course of the coming month, and maybe beyond we'll have some face-to-face time, maybe next summer or whenever. But I'm guessing, just statistically speaking, probably some guys not know you guys well yet. Some guys on this call probably tend towards too much of the productivity, not enough relaxing, and some guys tend towards, you know, playing relaxing, less productivity. That's the nature of the human condition. And the mitzvah Alach Bedrachav is to develop myself, to work on myself, and to keep cultivating a healthy balance. Okay, so that's a mitzvah, and that's part of the room we each have to grow. So coming back here, as we have this powerful, as we're seeing, this increasingly powerful concept of Alach Bedrachav, which the Rav in many of his writings talks about, and saw, as the Rambam did, as a very, very central mitzvah. And as we're seeing, it's not only about personality. There are other mitzvahs also. There's a select club, a select subset of mitzvahs, of specific mitzvos ma'asios, of active mitzvahs that have a V'halach Bedrachav aspect to them. Torah, Shabbos, and now coming back home, Tefillin. But the question, as I was saying before, is what does that mean exactly? It sounds very important. It sounds like it has a lot to teach us. But what does that mean? Tefillin is Valach Bedrachav. I wear Tefillin Hashem. Hashem doesn't... I understand a little bit that Hashem has a certain... the personality is a funny word to use for Hashem. Right? Well, it's all metaphorical description. But I could understand how HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with situations. I understand that Torah is Chachmas Hashem. I understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to step back from being creative. So Midos, Torah, Shabbos, but Tefillin. What does this mean? So we're supposed to take a look. So we're going to use two clues to fully solve this problem. The second clue is going to be what we do when we wrap our tefillin around our finger. The first clue is the next line of the Gemara. Because the Gemara says, here, let's take a look back inside. The Gemara says, the second to last, third to last medium width line. See that over there? Amalir of Nachman by Yitzhak Levchia, right above number 10. The Gemara developed that Kadosh Baruch Hu wears tefillin, based on the pasuk Zroa Uzo, Kadosh Baruch Hu wears tefillin in some sense or another. So what's the follow-up question I want to know? We want to know about this. Well, what's inside of the tefillin? After all, we never see, unless you, like me, have an old pair of tefillin that you can look inside of. We wear tefillin every day. We never see the parashios. But that's obviously the essence, is the contents. It's all about connecting those parashios to your body. Well, what are the Gemara asks? Well, the next logic, if Hashem wears tefillin in some sense, what would be the parashios in Hashem's tefillin? And that's an interesting question, because I would have thought, I don't know, the parashios in tefillin. Why is that like a optional piece? Yeah, what do you say, Yoni? That is a good question. Yoni's asking a very good question. Yoni's asking in Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchas Mezuzah, in Yerodea, the Ramah suggests that the ideal is to have a clear mezuzah case. Either in Bitkuvas HaTalmud, it seems like they often drilled the hole into the stone doorway and they just slipped the rolled up parchment into the hole. Maybe you can actually see it there. Or if you can have a case, Ramah says it would be better in general to have a clear case, unless it's a place where you're near dirty diapers or something like that. And there's an exception. I was covered for the mezuzah, but in general, Ramah says it would be ideal to have a clear case. Many people do. Some people don't. Okay. So not required, but ideal. And again, the point is that way you see the cloth. Yeah, Yoni's pointing out, as the Rambam does, actually, in a different context, that the parshas of the tefillin are unique, unlike Sefer Torah and Mezuzah, in that they're by design not seen. Yeah, so why is that? Why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to encase the tefillin in batim that have to be opaque? Right? There's no such thing as transparent leather. So if you're putting them into leather, by definition, you're never going to see the parshas. I'm not sure. That's a very good question. I'm not sure. I could speculate. It's a little dangerous to speculate. I could speculate. It could be that it's meant to train us to think about the ideas instead of just relying on seeing it. There's something that reminds you of it, but at the same time, you're not actually reading it. I don't know. I do know also, as the Gemara is going to say a little bit later in Menachos, that there's traces of writing on the outside. The Gemara is going to speak about the fact they have the two shins on the outside and you have the letter Dalid in the Kesher. We also have a letter Yud in the Kesher. So there are traces of the writing that are visible. But yeah, most of the writing is by design inside. I'm not sure. I'm not sure whether it's meant to sort of train us to think in a more focused way. You can't just read it. You have to remember what it is that's inside. I'm not sure. Let's keep our eyes open. It's a very good question. Let's keep our eyes open as we go continue through the sugyas of tefillin, and we'll see if we find any clues to solve Yoni's question. Why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose that by design, that the design of the tefillin such that you cannot see the parshas? I'm not sure. Yeah, what do you say, Yonatan? Thoughts? What do you say? Mm-hmm. Okay. That is a very good point. It's not going to look pretty, and it also may not be practical. Until the advent of plastic, there was nothing that was clear and not fragile. Yeah, Yoni, what do you say? Right. That's right. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks talks about Judaism being a civilization of the ear instead of a civilization of the eye. Shema Yisrael. We don't say Re'e Yisrael. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not visible. So there's a lot that has to happen in our minds. Yeah, the truth is, even that famous Gemara that everyone knows in Menachos about how the Tchelis reminds you of Kisya Kavod, the Gemara talks about it in three stages. The Tchelis reminds you of the color of the sea. That reminds you of the color of the sky. That reminds you of the Kisya Kavod. It sounds like you're training your thinking. It sounds like you're training yourself to think in a focused way. Perhaps. So coming back to this Gemara. So this Gemara says, well, what is it? So Yoni raises a good question. Why are the parshas of our tefillin by design opaque? For some reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose that they should be. But then when the Gemara raises the idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, metaphorically speaking, wearing tefillin, the first question is, what are in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tefillin? As though it should be something else. And the answer is fascinating. Maksiv bu, hani tefillin de mariyalu maksiv bu, these tefillin of the master of the universe, Ribono shel Olam. What's written in them? Amar lei mikamchi Yisrael goyachet baretz. Interesting. A pasuk that speaks about the uniqueness of Klal Yisrael. We are a goy literally means a nation. We sometimes use the word goy colloquially to mean a non-Jewish person. But strictly speaking, a goy is a nation. And in this case, Klal Yisrael are referred to as a goy echad, a unique nation. Interesting. Sounds like it's parallel, as the Gemara is about to say, to a very famous pasuk in our tefillin. Now, this is interesting, is our tefillin are not about us. Really? You mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes pride in the praise? He decorates himself with the praise of the Jewish people? The Gemara says, yes, absolutely. That's what it says in the Chumash. A pasuk in Parshas Ki Savo. As Hashem ha'amarta yom, v'Hashem ha'amircha yom. You have been ma'amir God, Moshe says to the Jewish people at the end of Moshe's life, and he has been ma'amir you. What does it mean to be ma'amir? To be Omer is to speak, but to Ma'amir, Amar Lema Kadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. Now Gemara explains that Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying to the Jewish people through Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem is saying to the Jewish people the following: Atem Asisuni Chativa Achaz Bolam. You made me into a unique item in this world. Not I mean, Hashem is unique, but we declared, we proclaimed, we set it out that Hashem is unique, and He's saying that about us. Ani Eseschem Chativa Achaz. Hashem proclaims that we're unique. Well, what does this mean? Gemara explains more. Atem asisuni, here the second very wide line. Atem asisuni chativ achaz ba'olam. You stand and proclaim, declare Hashem's uniqueness. Shema Yisrael, Hashem l'kei Hashem echad. Not just one, but God is unique. V'ani eseschem chativ achaz ba'olam. Hashem proclaims our uniqueness. U'mi ka'amcha Yisrael goy echad ba'aretz. Fascinating. So there's a parallel there between Hashem echad and the Klal Yisrael being the goy echad. And that's the pasuk in Hashem's tefillin. And the Gemara goes on to say, well, by parallelism to our tefillin, there are ultimately more than one pasuk. The Gemara says there are a series of other psukim that also speak about the praise of Klal Yisrael. Migoy Gadol, Ashrecha Yisrael, V'sitche Elyon, so on and so forth. Various other psukim. So, but let's take a step back for a moment. Now, let's take a step back from the trees. Let's see the forest. What's the big picture here? The tefillin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, this is a concept. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a head, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have an arm, but when we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears tefillin, so when we physically put tefillin on our, tie tefillin on our arm and our head, we're somehow imitating what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tefillin speak about the uniqueness of Klal Yisrael. Our tefillin literally speak about the uniqueness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shema Yisrael Hashem L'kein Hashem Echad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, and so on and so forth. As the Gemara said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mishtabeach b'shivchai Yud Yisrael. The Gemara was at first surprised. The whole notion of Hashem wearing tefillin that speak about us means he's, so to speak, decorating himself with the praise of Klal Yisrael. The Gemara said, absolutely. That's what it says in Kisavo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, takes pride in us. This teaches us about our tefillin. If you reflect it, our tefillin means that we're taking pride in Him. We're decorating ourselves with the uniqueness of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now we're beginning to understand what this concept of, by looking carefully at this Gemara, right, we're going to, number one, make more sense of the Havalachta Bedrachav of Tefillin, and we're going to make more sense of Tefillin in general. Because we were wondering before, you remember, well, what does it mean to, Hashem wears Tefillin in some sense, so we imitate him by our wearing Tefillin. We understand a little bit, contours, what it means that Hashem is involved in Talmud Torah, that Hashem is involved in Ruach HaShabbos. What does it mean Hashem is involved in wearing Tefillin? It doesn't have a head, doesn't have an arm. The Gemara says it's not about the head and the arm, it's about the contents. It means that Kadosh Baruch Hu is, so to speak, bound up, tied up, plugged in to the Goy Echad Ba'aretz, to the uniqueness of Klal Yisrael. So for us to wear Tefillin means to plug in to the uniqueness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the essence of Tefillin. The method of Tefillin is the leather boxes and the tying it on. That's the method. But the essence of Tefillin is plugging in to Shivchei Dekud Shebrichu, just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is tied up with us. Sort of like, right, a married woman in a healthy marriage, if a married woman enjoys a healthy, happy relationship with her husband, so she wears her wedding band and her engagement ring with pride every day. It's a physical expression of her connection, her emotional connection to her husband. Again, your relationship isn't your ring, and the relationship is not primarily physical, it's primarily emotional. But the ring is a physical expression, a physical reflection of that emotional connection. That's what tefillin is. It's a taking, physically decorating oneself with the pride I have in my partner. The Tanakh is those who have learned Yeshayahu, who have learned Yecheskel, have learned Treyasar, you've definitely come across many times that one of the most common metaphors that the Nevi'im have for the relationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a marriage. See, usually, typically casting HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the husband and Klal Yisrael as the wife. Right? Tanakh is full of that. Zacharti l'chesed nuraych avos kulosayich from Yirmiyahu. Talking about when we were newlyweds in the Midbar. When we, so to speak, had first married HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yitzias Mitzrayim, Ma'amad Har Sinai. And throughout the Nevi'im Achronim, you find this again and again and again. So tefillin are an expression of a physical, it's like wearing a wedding band. It's a physical decoration that reflects that emotional connection. Wow. By the way, it's not only valachta bedrachav, where it's not just a halachta bedrachav, it's the halachta bedrachav. Where actually HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tefillin reflects the fact that he has a connection with us. Our tefillin reflects the fact that we have a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The fact that we can connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is at the core of the whole idea of halachta bedrachav. That's true of every human being. That's what Tzelem Elokim means. When they say that all humanity, the Mishnah stresses, every single human being, Jew and non-Jew alike, has Tzelem Elokim. That's the Mishnah in Masachas Sanhedrin, I believe. Chaviv Adam Shenivar B'Tzelem. Tzelem Elokim means that every single human being has the potential to be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That Tzelem Elokim, divine image, doesn't mean that God has a nose and God has fingers, but it means that human beings can be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'alach t'bedrachav. And at the same time, every human being has that potential. Klal Yisrael have a particular relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that particular relationship is celebrated through Shabbos and is celebrated through tefillin. That's what tefillin are. And let's wrap this up with a peek at one final marmakam, and then it's definitely time to take a break. I want to first finish this sugya with, I said before, the two clues to really understand this valachta bedrachav of tefillin were, number one, what we just saw, the hemshech ha-gemara, this idea that when the Gemara begins talking about what are the parshos in tefillin, that's where we begin to understand what the Gemara is trying to say. And now we begin to appreciate what this mitzvah is. And now I want to end with the following. What do we do when we wrap around our fingers? You say a couple of psukim, right? Where does that come from? Those are psukim in Hosea, right here. And the Radak is already wondering, well, what do these psukim mean? What do these psukim mean? And the Malbim has something gorgeous to say. He points out, I'll give it to you outside. If you want, I provide you with a Malbim to look. If you want to look in later, take a look inside. It's very beautiful. Let me give you the gist of what he says outside. Verastichli le'olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that ve'erastich is I marry you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has this bond with the Klal Yisrael forever. Based on what? And these are the psukim, again, that we, Minig Yisrael has, that we complete the putting on of tefillin with these psukim. So they probably are pretty central. So not only you have that marriage theme, but there's more. The Malbim says, we're married to HaKadosh Baruch Hu forever, right? We reject the claims of Christianity and Islam that the Jewish people's connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu was time limited. It's forever. Based on what? So the Malbim says, look at this. Two more ve'erastichs. He says, because there are two major parts of our avos Hashem. Bidam lechavero, bidam lemakom. So he says, ve'erastichli b'tzedek uve'mishpat. That's what we bring to the table in terms of bein adam lachavero. Mishpat is doing the right thing, acting justly, doing the right thing, treating other people honestly and properly. Tzedek means going beyond just doing the right thing. It's lifnim ishur hasayin, going the extra mile for people beyond what mechuyev to do. Ve'rastichli be'emuna, that's emuna, belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the basis of all of our bein adam lamakoms. So the our relation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu on our end is our investment in the fullness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will, both Be'am L'Chavero and Be'am L'Makam, both that we invest Mishpat and Tzedek and that we invest Emunah. And, he says, the second half of each of those is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings in return. We invest Mishpat and Tzedek, doing the right thing vis-a-vis other people and going beyond, doing extra for others. And he, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, invests chesed and rachamim. He'll have compassion on us. He'll take care of us. And he'll go beyond chesed, even beyond what would be, so to speak, expected of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in taking care of us. And we invest emunah. We fulfill the Beiran Lamakums based on belief. We don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he brings to the table via Dat as Hashem, the capacity for us to, in time, that it's not only based on we believe without seeing, but to have greater knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He allows us to have that relationship, and in time, Geula and Nisim, that allow us to base on more than just I believe, but I know that there is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's what we wrap up Hanachas Tefillin with, because this mamish captures it. Tefillin are much more than just a mitzvah to put something on our bodies every day. It is, as we got started with yesterday, we're tying our beliefs to our bodies. And not tying our beliefs to our bodies, we're like giving physical expression to our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu on so many levels that we care about him, that he cares about us, that we're meant to dedicate ourselves to tzedek and mishpat, we're meant to dedicate ourselves to emunah, to the b'nam lamakams, to the b'nam lachaveros, and that we know, we don't always see it, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of us as well. And perhaps, by the way, in terms of what Yoni said, maybe this is pure speculation, but if tefillin are meant to reflect our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and as we're stressing, our bilateral, that means our two-direction relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as is the case in any healthy marriage, he's invested in us and we're invested in him, so it may be purely speculative, maybe the reason why the parshios are hidden is because that's the way, by design, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's relationship with us. Once we left the Midbar, Mud no longer falls out of the Shamayim. We're no longer surrounded by Anani HaKavod. We don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu with our eyes by design. If we saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu all the time, it would be very hard to have a Nisayon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hides himself. A major part of the challenge and opportunity of life is to discover HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he's in obvious. So maybe that's what's being symbolized and captured by the parshas. They're there, even though you don't see them. Maybe. But now we bring it all together. So tefillin is a member of this very select club, the subset of mitzvahs that not only it's sivui, but valachta bedrachav, we're actually imitating HaKadosh Baruch Hu wearing tefillin. And what is it that we're doing? We are expressing and taking pride in building our relation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just as he, in a divine way, takes pride in us. Yisrael asher becha espa'ar. So this is incredible. And it also points us in the direction of the next sugya. We're going to take a break now for a couple minutes. When we come back, we're going to have a chance to maybe we'll talk about one or two technical things. And then we'll have a chance to dive in to begin to learn Bechavrusa. We're going to start the second sugya is we're going to take us into the Gemaras and Menachas. And can start getting involved in the details of Tefillin. And the first sugya has to do with the contents, the parshios of the Tefillin. As we're beginning to see, the parshios, there's a lot to talk about in Tefillin. We'll be talking about the Hanacha and the Shalyan, the Shalrosh, and there's a lot in the Brachos. There's a lot going on, but it stands to reason that the first sugya ought to be what's inside the Tefillin. Because as we're seeing from this Shir Psicha, the contents of the Tefillin are ultimately where it all starts. So let's take we've been going for a while. Take a 7-minute break. Let's take a 7-minute break.